بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا مولانا محمد عليه وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. Welcome back to another episode of the Saviors of Islam. Tonight, inshallah, we begin with a moment from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life. He gathered the companions and said very powerful words to them. He said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُبْسَطَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا بُسِطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا وَتُلْهِيكُمْ كَمَا أَلْهَتْهُمْ. Very powerful words. What did the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ say here? He said, by Allah, I don't fear poverty over you. I'm not worried about poverty. Poverty is not going to destroy you. What I'm worried about is that the world would open up its doors for you. The world would humble itself for you. Materialism would become so accessible as it became accessible to the people before you. And it would distract you like it distracted the people before you. And it would destroy you like it destroyed the people before you. This was one of the favorite hadith of Al-Hasan al-Basri to narrate from the minbar when he gave the lectures, when he gave the khutab, when he gave the reminders. And he would say this in the face of the khulafa. This is what he was known for. Known for being an advocate for justice in the most difficult and in the most challenging of times. What else would he say? He would remind the people of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the long hadith, and then he would say, وَيَخُونُونَ وَلَا يُؤْتَمَنُونَ وَيُنذِرُونَ وَيُنذُرُونَ وَلَا يُوَفُّونَ وَيَظْهَرُ فِيهُمُ السِّمَنَ. So what did he say? He said, Nabi Sallim used to say, there will come a time in which people will speak, but they will not be trustworthy. They will give their word, but they will not keep their promise. They will not fulfill their covenants. And they will become so complacent and so used to luxury that they will gain so much weight. They will eat to the point again where they would be overfed. Tonight's savior, as we discussed, is Al-Hasan al-Basri, an icon. Al-Hasan al-Basri was known as Sayyid al-Tabi'een, the master of all of the Tabi'een, the second generation of Muslims. He was respected by the companions to the point where, listen to this carefully, when Anas ibn Malik was asked a question about Islam, he said, don't go to me when Al-Hasan al-Basri is here. Even though Anas is one of the most senior of the companions in the time of Al-Hasan al-Basri, and he's older, he said, I have learned and so did Al-Hasan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Al-Hasan with memory. He remembered and I have forgotten. And of course, this was Anas's way of demonstrating his humility. Don't ask me a question when Al-Hasan al-Basri is here. Let that sink in. Al-Hasan al-Basri was a child, a baby, growing up at the time of Anas ibn Malik, a baby. But imagine the companion who sat with Rasulullah sallam, touched the flesh of Rasulullah sallam. And the Nabi sallam made so much dua for Anas, and he spent 7, 10 years with the Prophet Muhammad sallam. He's saying, don't ask me a question when Al-Hasan al-Basri is here. So who is this icon? Who is this legend that changed Islamic history? Were his parents from the aristocracy like we discussed last night? Were they powerful? Were they rich? No. Both of his parents were slaves, Yasar and Khayra. Freed slaves, perhaps you have not heard the names before. And that goes to show you, subhanAllah, with knowledge and true intention and sincerity can take the most unknown of people and elevate them in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Hasan al-Basri would speak to the khulafa and he would remind them at a time in which people became, you know, complacent and people became distrusting and there was much corruption. And we discussed last night, there was again injustice in the name of the state, divisiveness and politics that was very poisonous and toxic. What would he say to them? He would say to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks, in a way that befits his majesty, looks down upon the people. He looks to the people of the earth, and the ones who are standing at night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stand as icons like the stars shine in the night. And the ones who are committing injustice will eventually be brought to him, and they will be showcased in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah and brought to justice. Subhanallah. The companions of Al-Hasan al-Basri and the scholars would say, every one of us had a specific field that they became exceptional in. So somebody was an expert in fiqh, jurisprudence. Someone was an expert in nahw, grammar. Somebody was an expert in law. But Al-Hasan al-Basri, by the consensus of those that were around him, was an expert in every area possible. When the scholars of fiqh gathered, they would say, go to Al-Hasan as the ultimate authority. When the scholars of tafsir gathered, they would say, go to Al-Hasan as the ultimate authority. And Ibn Abbas himself says, I have never met somebody who's closer to the language of the Prophet Muhammad Sallam, his speech, the way that he carried himself, the etiquette, than Al-Hasan al-Basri. Subhanallah. Where does it all come from? How does this beautiful gift come and manifest itself in Al-Hasan al-Basri? The ulama say two things happened, and I want you to listen to this carefully. The first thing, subhanAllah, is Umar ibn al-Khattab himself made dua for him as a child. Umar saw him as a child studying, walking around, carrying some notes, and he says, oh Allah, make him a faqih, make him deep in his knowledge, and make him beloved to the people. And that goes to show you the power of dua. My uncles, my parents, my brothers and my sisters, when you see good in the community, when you see potential, make dua for the person. Make dua for the person. Don't look at that individual with envy and jealousy or any other ill feeling. Look at that person as one of us. This is the future of our ummah. Make dua for those that have potential. He left Medina at 17, went and lived in Basra. And when he settled in Basra, that's how he got his name. Two very interesting things happen when he settles in Basra. The first is he goes and he collects as much knowledge as possible from the ulama of Basra and sits with Ibn Abbas and becomes one of his most dedicated students. Not only that, he joins the campaigns defending the frontiers of Islam and spreading Islam and joins at least 70 ghazawat. He carries the sword at a time in which, of course, the Muslim community was engaging with others in this way. He carries the sword. He doesn't just stick to the books. He concerns himself with the needs of the ummah. He doesn't say, I'm just a scholar. I'm going to limit myself to, you know, my studying and my research and my teaching. No, he goes and he shares the struggle of the Muslim community. And that's a reminder for our shuyukh and our ulama. Be one of the people. Don't be different. It's good to be special in the khair, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that privilege and blessing. It's good to be treated with that respect, but make yourself accessible. And that's one thing that made Al-Hasan al-Basri really stand out. One thing, again, or one example of how he made himself accessible is one day he was sleeping at home and his students felt comfortable enough to enter the house. While he's sleeping, you know, the family let him in and they sat and they ate. And Al-Hasan al-Basri wakes up and he says, how did you guys get here? Well, your family let us in. He says, this is the sweetest feeling to know that you're not just my students, you are my brothers. Now I feel so happy that you've let yourselves in with the permission of the family and that you're staying and you're eating and waiting for me. And he would say to his students, I would feel comfortable if you were to be comfortable enough to put your hand in my pocket and take whatever you need without asking me. Imagine the level of generosity. Take whatever you need and don't even ask. When he went to Al-Basra, many of the Arabs who settled in Al-Basra were very reluctant to wear the clothing of Al-Basra. Al-Hasan Al-Basri, from very early on, he was one of those who wore the clothing of the people of Al-Basra. And that really gained the respect of those who lived there. He said, I'm not going to be different. Now I'm going to adopt the clothing and the style of the people. I don't want to build more barriers between me and my community. Subhanallah. So he wore the taylasan, which was the clothing of the people of Al-Basra. One other thing that's unique about Al-Hasan Al-Basri is he maintained neutrality. When there was tension and conflict between the Sahabas, he was always quick to maintain neutrality. But when it was, again, when one side was clearly in the right, he did not compromise speaking justly. He spoke justly. As a matter of fact, once Al-Hajjaj came to him, and he, you know, saw the beautiful eloquence of Al-Hajjaj, saw the beautiful eloquence of Al-Hasan. And by the way, Al-Hajjaj was very eloquent as well. So he recognized the eloquence of Al-Hasan. He told him, you're incredible. What a beautiful gift that you have. What can I do for you? So imagine Al-Hajjaj, and Al-Hajjaj, of course, was known for a lot of unjust acts. You know, he catapulted the Kaaba, right? He destroyed a part of the Kaaba. And there's a long story behind that. But he was not a man of justice, even though he did some khair as well. But of course, the injustice prevails. Now, what did What did Al-Hassan, how did Al-Hassan respond? Imagine Hajjaj saying, what can I do for you? Al-Hajjaj is shocked to hear the response of Al-Hassan. He says, the only thing that I can ask is for 2 more years of the Khilafah of Umar. Meaning the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and some say the Khilafah of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, meaning I wish that we can get more of the time of justice so that you would have no position to stand as somebody of injustice. And of course, Al-Hajjaj, you know, فَأَسَرَّهَا فِي نَفْسِهِ, he kept it concealed, but he kept, again, directly alluding to it, and of course, being indirect as well and subtle in speaking against untruth and injustice. My brothers and my sisters, I'll leave you with 3 things, inshallah, before we close very quickly. Once Al-Hasan al-Basri was in his home praying, and a thief enters the house. And the thief expected Al-Hasan al-Basri to interrupt his salah. But Al-Hasan al-Basri continued praying. And finally he finished, and the thief, you know, was caught. And Al-Hasan al-Basri asked him, what brought you here? He said, come to, you know, and he recognized him. So he said to him, do you have anything in the house? Is there anything at all that I can take? Al-Hasan al-Basri says, no, I have nothing of the dunya. You can look around. I have nothing that you can take. You know, just the basic stuff that I'm sleeping in, my basic bedding, besides that, nothing else. He says, well, is there anything that you can give? Is there anything? He says, come with me, my brother, and let's pray 2 rak'ahs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. And he stood next to him, and they prayed 2 rak'ahs, and Al-Hasan al-Basri recited ayat beautifully of the Quran about the etiquette of forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and forgiving others. And those ayat really touched the individual that came to steal, the thief, and he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what stands out here, although there's discussion about the authenticity of the story, regardless of that, what stands out is the eloquence of Al-Hasan. He could have gave him a long lecture. And Al-Hasan, by the way, was a very powerful guy, big guy, very tall, very muscular. So he wasn't in a position of weakness. He could have easily overpowered that man. So he told him, come and pray. He didn't use large words and a long conversation and a long reminder, kept it short. Let's pray together, stand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray together at night. Once he was approached by some of the emirs and they told him, you know what? Some of the slaves in the community approached him and they told him, you should give some reminders, some khutbah about the importance of freeing slaves. So he went the first week, the second week, third week, fourth week, didn't give any khutbahs about freeing slaves. Finally, on the fourth or fifth week, he gave a reminder about the importance and the ajr associated with freeing slaves. So they asked him, why did it take you so long? He said, I wanted to make sure, you know, I didn't own any slaves. I didn't have the power or the money to be able to afford. So I saved up and I went and I found someone who's a slave and I set them free so that before I get on the minbar and I tell others to do that, I would have done it myself so that I would avoid hypocrisy. When he passed away, Jews, Christians, and Muslims left Basra and went to the gravesite or to the graveyard to honor the person of Al-Hasan al-Basri. And as it was on a Friday that he was buried, and so many people attended the burial that the Asr Salah in the Masjid in Basra was not attended by anybody. All the people, the Muadhin, the Imam, the people that usually pray in the Masjid, they left to honor Al-Hasan al-Basri and make dua for him. My brothers and my sisters, at a time of injustice and a time of division and a time of conflict, what stood out about Al-Hasan al-Basri, his humility, his accessibility, his kindness and eloquence through his words, and his insistence upon speaking the truth to anybody that was around him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those who are just and fair in everything that we say and in everything that we do. Ya Rab, Ameen, Ameen. Now I mentioned to you that Al-Hasan was very eloquent. So let's look at some of the things that he beautifully said. He said, بِئْسَ الرَّفِيقَانِ الدِّرْهَمْ وَالدِّينَارِ لَا يَنْفَعَانِ حَتَّى يُفَارِقَانِ. What a terrible friend. The dirham and the dinar, you know, the currencies, the gold and the silver. They will not benefit you until they leave your hand. Look at that. Again, he was known for his eloquence, very quick, very concise, and to the point. He says, عِظِ النَّاسَ بِفِعْلِكَ. ولا تعظهم بقولك. Give advice to people with your action, not with your speech. And he also says to the people around him, إنما أنت أيام مجموعة. You're just a number of days. كلما مضى يوم مضى بعضك. Every day that passes, a part of you passes. And he would say this to the Khulafa. And he also spoke to the Khalifa at the time, and he says, إنما الإيمان ليس بالتحلي ولا بالتمني, إنما الإيمان ما وقر في القلب وصدقه العمل. He says, indeed, faith, iman, is not in these, you know, exaggerated and beautiful displays that people do, and it's not in wishful thinking. Indeed, iman is what resides in the heart and what is confirmed by action. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us believers. Jazakumullahu khayran. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.